We're supposed to have a Bible study as usual, but today we'll devote this time to the single brothers and sisters. I saw some married people among us. What made me remember, what it reminds me of, recently a sister called my wife and she said she has 7 children already. So she's not looking for fruit of the womb. Then one day, we're having program here on Wednesday for the fruit of the womb. She decided to just come. Instead of sitting at home, let her just come. She came for fruit of the womb program. That very week, she missed her period. She had to cry to God to take it away. She promised God that she will not go for that program again. Then God took it away. So she came again this time to stand for her sister. So she came and we blessed water. She took the water. She told God it's not for her. So she was calling my wife. That can she drink this water on behalf of her sister? She said, see the reason why she dey fear. Make sure not drink her and she can't get belay because she already has 7. Married brothers and sisters, you are here. Sister, if after today you see men, they chase you up and down. I know they will. Because anybody that come to this program today, you must marry. Do you believe it? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open Proverbs chapter 26. Let's look at the Bible and say one or two things. Then I will answer some questions within the time we have, because we always have questions concerning marriage, courtship, Christian marriage, Christian courtship. So, but we must say something that's been a burden in my heart for the single brothers and sisters. That scripture, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, that verse goes like this. It says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the costless shall not come. What that scripture is saying is, a bird is because it's flying up and down. That's why it jams trouble. If that bird remained in one place, it will not jam the kind of problem it jams. And that scripture is also saying that is how, before a curse, you say family curse, this curse, this curse, this curse. You say, before a curse can come upon any man, upon any woman, there must be a reason. That's why you say, a curse, causeless, shall not come. That means there must be a reason for that curse. So also, in verse 27, he said, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Amen. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 again. One verse there. Verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. That scripture says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an edge, a serpent shall bite him. Now these scriptures, they are loaded. They are words for the wise, for those who have ears to hear. And this program is not a deliverance program. It's not. It's a program, our own way of watching over our single brothers and sisters. We have various programs that takes care of various aspects of our lives, for healing, for deliverance, fruit of the womb, business breakthrough. Different programs, Operation Lucy, Let Him Go. We have other programs, Prosperity Week, and so many others we hold in this church regularly for the welfare of the people of God. Today, we are facing once every month, and today is the one for this month, our single brothers and sisters, the area of marriage. One of the areas the devil uses to bring frustration upon the children of God, one of the areas is what we are facing, the area of marriage. You see, so many single brothers and sisters, aged, and even some overaged, overdue for marriage. Husband is not coming, or wife is not coming, no money, no accommodation, nothing to prepare you to keep a wife for the men, and more especially for the women. You have all manner of frustrations. It comes one way or the other, and time appears running out and sends so many of us, single sisters, to frustration. But one thing I want us to know is that God has ordained marriage. And for every child of God, there is a husband, there is a wife somewhere for you. Definitely. Because it's a commission of God. It's a commission of God. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined together with his wife, and two of them shall be one flesh. It's ordained by God. It's a natural thing. When you are of age, you must be in your husband's house. You must leave your father's house and be with your wife. And as wonderful as that experience is, the devil is out to destroy or frustrate us. And one area that the enemy uses is what I want us to face today to watch. One of the areas that Satan uses so much among young men and women, he uses it and brings frustration and delays marriages. And if I've been telling the Lord, if he can just help me open somebody's heart and let them see the impact of this thing I'm sharing this evening, it will help somebody. One of these areas is fornication, sexual sin. And as it relates to marriage generally, I want us to look at the effect of fornication. The effect of fornication. Not too many of us know the effect of fornication. Not too many of us. God did not create us to use our reproductive system, the sexual organs, the way we are using it. The main purpose of the sexual organs is not for pleasure. You have to understand that. And if you don't understand it, from this angle I'm looking at it tonight, the devil will continue to keep you in perpetual misery. Remember, in my teaching here of the original sin, the serpent seed, the sin that took place in the Garden of Eden, I brought out something there. Satan anointed that animal, Eve. Listen carefully, because that is the whole crunch of that message, that revelation. That people are gnashing their teeth over and they're hitting their head on the wall over. The truth about what happened in the Garden of Eden, is that animal, serpent, was anointed by the devil to go and have fornication, a sexual act with that woman Eve. That is what happened in the Garden of Eden. What was he trying to achieve? Serpent. All he got to know was the devil was making him know the pleasure, that momentary pleasure you derive in sex. And the animal went convincing the woman about the pleasure you can derive momentarily from the act of sex. But unknown to even the animal and that woman, Satan was only trying to use it to achieve something else he was gunning for. What was he trying to? Is what he's doing at that time, what he did at that time, is what is still going on now. When the enemy throws a spirit of lust upon you, what he makes you believe is that if you sleep with that woman, you will enjoy it. That's all you know. He does not tell you the effect that follows that action. That's what I want you to note. And that's why God hates fornication. The whole creature of God, he made them male and female. All animals, male and female. It is only the human beings that engage in sex for pleasure. That is what is called fornication. It's only human beings. Why? Because we are the only ones created in the image of God. We are the only ones he calls his children. We are the only ones that have body, soul, and spirit. We are the only ones that can live eternally with God. And anything so precious before the eyes of God like that, Satan will go to pervert it. And he ended up perverting it. There's only animals, only human beings that engage in sex for pleasure. All other creatures, they engage in sex for procreation. The sexual organs were given for procreation. It's for procreation. It's not for pleasure. It's not for pleasure. Praise the Lord. Now, what does he want to achieve? He achieved it. See what the whole world has been reduced into today. Womanhood has been debased. Now, men look at woman generally as object of pleasure. And woman now is now referred, looked at as a symbol of sex. That's it now. That is it now. Everywhere you go, what do you call models? They call them their modeling. You know what that means? Beauty queen. You know what that means? If you want to advertise any product, even if it is engine oil, what would they use to advertise engine oil to catch attention? Naked woman, not just woman, a naked woman. Once that is, it's laughable, but it's a very pitiable condition of human beings. That a woman will so debase herself and naked herself, show her sacred parts. For what? For money, for pleasure. See? Praise the Lord. But why? And any time I have proved it, I have spoken it, I have preached it, I don't want to go that way, but you watch it, brothers and sisters. Know that any time you see a woman passing and you begin to lust after her to take her to bed, is that same demon behind you that is anointing you, and it's for a reason. He's not interested in sending you to enjoy momentarily with any woman. There's something is after in your life. He succeeded and he ended up sending Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. sent him out from the presence of God. Brethren, number one, if God sent Adam and Eve out of his presence because of the sin of sexual sin that Eve committed, what makes you think that he will keep you in his own presence when you commit the same sin? Amen. Well, we're looking this night at the effect of fornication. Proverbs chapter 6. Let me read two verses again. Verse 32 and 33. Proverbs. We'll be looking at something here. Very important and very seriously tonight. Verse 32. It said, but whoso committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. See? I repeat. Brother, you are listening. Tap your neighbor in the ear. Tap your brother and say, listen to what they talk. Don't fear your brother. If you blow your face, na fornicator he be, hit her very well. Verse 32. But whoso committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. He that committed fornication lacketh, committed adultery or fornication is the same thing, lacketh understanding. Because the effect of fornication is both physical and spiritual. Of course, what is STD? The physical one now. What's the meaning of STD? Sexually transmitted disease. They call it sexually transmitted disease. Until, because the sin of fornication is now so common. So common. So common. They drink fornication more than they drink water. More than they drink pure water. That is how they drink fornication among young men and women, among everybody now. Until not even the gospel has been able to deter that. See? Hallelujah. Sexually transmitted disease. That is why the whole of the diseases now have developed, what do you call it? Is it antibodies for themselves? They develop resistance to all the antibiotics. To all the antibiotics. A few years ago, a doctor had to show me something in his laboratory. How mosquitoes, this mosquito malaria parasite, how they function in some people. That's why they say they are resistant to some drugs. And he was lecturing and he showed me, you know, in his laboratory, how that immediately they take the blood sample and they were looking at it, and then they put a certain drugs. When you put certain drugs, immediately that bacteria, you know, develop something that covered himself. As soon as he smelled that drug coming, it emitted something and covered himself. So that drug could not have effect. Then after that drug takes its course and leaves, then it comes out again. He said that is why some people malaria now come and go, come and go. You say na devil, they worry you. No be devil. They say don't get sense. So it is with gonorrhea. So it is with staphylococcus. And then their great grandpapa HIV. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Their great grandpapa. That is where you come from. Now it's from. So that's one of the effects. Each time you have sexual intercourse, the devil is trying to push you to have an incurable disease. Some of them say they are curable, some incurable. I'm coming somewhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Especially HIV. And we know the story of HIV. The doctors tell you that is where I see the devil himself coming again to continue that HIV came up to scare everybody to abstain from immorality. But they came again and said, if you use condom, there will be no... So continue. Just continue the scene. Just use condom. They put it in big billboard. I heard that even some churches, they give young people like this, as we come today, so they will distribute condoms. I heard it. A sister told me she attended one of these popular young churches around, where everybody palmed their head, men and women. And they went for the program and they distributed condoms for them. Praise the Lord. So what are they saying? Continue, continue. Ride on, enjoy yourself. That's why, where I agree with the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that Satan has his ministers that disguise themselves as angel of light. How can a man of God come and encourage the people? Go and get a condom. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, for your information, I have also read where they said condom. I watched a documentary where they proved that that condom does not prevent bacteria, because the bacteria is so tiny, the virus is so tiny, that the condom still, it can still penetrate it. There are still holes where they there, where the thing may come out. No, I watched it. They were proving it, trying to prove that condom is not the solution. They were fighting that abstinence is the solution for the young people, unmarried people. As the truth. As so many married men, particularly men, that after marriage, they go and carry one innocent woman and all the STDs he pack, come and deposit them on this innocent woman. And before you know what, suffer this poor woman for nothing. Many, through this nonsense, they get themselves involved in. That is one effect. Some of us are suffering from what they are suffering. And there is a way that when you are now a child of God and you descend to that level, your own, Satan will make sure the type you will have is a type that will be incurable. Remember, that was the reason he was pushing you there. See fire. See fire, they pass. He will push you to go and enter that fire. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another physical effect is that it causes you to have abortion. And abortion, the sin of abortion, is the sin of murder. There's no second definition to it. There's no second definition to it. Anytime you commit abortion, you have murdered a life. And every murderer will pay for it. And every Christian knows, every human being knows that abortion is bad, is wrong. But you do it. And when devil wants to finish you more, after he has pushed you, you have had it, now you are pregnant, he will bring his agent again to you to direct you to where you will do the abortion. And you don't know where they are aiming at. It's to destroy your womb forever. You say, what is he saying? I've conducted deliverance for a young girl in this church before. And she confessed to me what the activities were in their group. She told me, so somewhere around Apapa is one other doctor that is in their group. That is those agents. She'll go and meet you, befriend you, encourage you to go out with a young man, and then when they are sure you have taken him, then she will come and say, I know somebody that will remove it for you free of charge. You're not going to pay anything. And that is their agent. It takes you there. He said, once you get there, I say, it's the womb they are removing. Damaging the womb. That is their assignment. The Queen of the Coast said, that is what they should come and do. That is what they've been anointed to do. And you are supposed to bring record of how many you have damaged, how many of girls you have destroyed, and how many men you have destroyed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And for those who still have conscience, one physical effect is that after you have committed abortion, you don't forgive yourself. So you live forever with emotional trauma, stress. You continue to condemn yourself because you know you have done something bad. So when Satan can get you to that estate, then he lets you believe you are disconnected from God. So what is the need to go and pray again? Anytime you say in Jesus' name, he will remind you, say, you commit abortion. So you will say, not true. God cannot answer me. So if God cannot answer you, what happens? It leaves you in misery. You're a miserable person. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, even if you will not take, go and do abortion. Now, he tells you, because every time he will push you to a man that is not yet ready for marriage. And I always say, he's not ready for marriage. Why did he come to approach you? He's not ready for marriage. Why is he doing with you the things that married people do? Sex is for married people. He never married. Why does he want to have sex with you? Then the thing enter. They are coming. Have fun. I don't know what happened. I don't know what is happening. What's happening? I don't know. I've been vomiting. I don't know. I've been hiding it. Let my auntie not see you. I'm behiding it. Let my brother not see you. Let's do it quick now. Do what? The marriage. The man is looking at you. Which marriage? Godwin, don't do this to me. Godwin, don't do this to me. Don't do what? Godwin does not want to marry now. Praise the Lord. So it ends up with unwanted pregnancy. Number one. Now you they sing past everybody for church. Now you the prayer warrior. Now you everywhere. Now you. Now, devil has decided to finish you. And of course, the young man will deny you. The next thing he will tell you, how much I'm even the one. I'm not sure I'm even the one. And he, of course, he has a reason for saying that. When he told you open, you open. So he's thinking any other man that come to you say open, now so you open. It's true now. So he has to be sure, say, now he get up. And you know the effect. What it means to be a single mother, you know what it means. Your value is off 80%. Pyam. That's the truth. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Unwanted pregnancy. That's all the devil was pushing you to have. Then he's staying somewhere and laughing at you. Because you have become a ridicule. You hide yourself all the days of your life from people who know you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're looking at the physical effect of fornication. What effect, again, I have stressed here every time. Sister, particularly the sisters. Particularly you, the sisters. I've said this here every time we come together like this. That one very important aspect of you that you should cherish and hold dearly before any man that approaches you. If that man is ever going to have respect for you, don't you ever allow him to see color of your pants. See, the man will try. Oh yeah, now. In Kiru waiting now. I say we don't agree, say we go marry. So what's the big deal now? He will do everything, do everything, do everything, do everything. Let me tell you. Each time he attempts you, he does not succeed. You become more valuable. See, I'm talking as a man. We know it. They don't burn me for church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen. Amen. All the nonsense they do there, some of us have done it before. I did not even marry as a Christian. I married about 2 or 3 years before I became a Christian. So, as a young man, we know the type of women we value. We know the type of women that are materials for housewife. And we knew the type of women that are material for feel alright. We know them. And one material of a woman that will stay faithfully to you, a man is looking for a woman that will be faithful. Will be faithful. I understand there are some women that approach men and say, you must sleep with me, you must sleep with me, you must sleep with me. They say, well, I'm feeling, they must sleep with me, you must sleep with me. You must sleep with me. That means if the husband is not around and that feeling comes, any other man around go take over. But that's the truth. Please permit me, because of the topic, let me say some things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't mean to be vulgar, but the topic, I can't say it in any other language. I don't know how to say it other than what I'm saying now. And we need to speak truth to ourselves. I am burdened by this. I am burdened because people are still coming to church, taking communion, bread and wine, speaking in tongues, falling under anointing, and still living in fornication. And I feel it's because you don't know the effect. You don't know the injury you are doing to your life. That's what I'm trying to emphasize today. That's the truth. Anytime a man approaches you to sleep with you, you have lost your value before him. You have lost your regard. Watch it now. After he has done it, watch the way he talks to you. Watch the way he does not treat you any longer as egg. Because what for now? What again? What will you use again for him? He has seen you upside down, inside out. So what again will you use? Therefore, He cannot tell you, I beg. You call us, I'll call you later. I'll call you later now. I said, I will call you later. Before that's why they talk to you. You have no regard anymore. And worse still, when he come, then tell and say, "I they go church, you, he go look you. If they go church, pray for me as they go. He's looking at you, church. He's talking in his heart, if you go heaven, me too, I go heaven." That is part of the physical effect of fornication. Praise the Lord. Now there is also the spiritual effect. The Bible speaks about two joining together and they become one. And what joins a man and a wife in the usage of the Bible, that scripture, is the sexual union. When you come together like that, you become one. And that is the highest expression of intimacy. And that is reserved only for a man and his wife. It's the highest expression of intimacy. The Bible says, when you do that, you become one. You are no longer two. And that statement is also deep. And that is why you can say it's for better and for worse. And anytime you come together like that in that union, you become one. That is, his problems become your problem. Your problem become his problems automatically. Automatically. I just pray somebody will really catch the effect of this thing. Once you take yourself and join with a woman with a man, two of you, that is, if that man is suffering from any cause, automatically, you too, you will suffer from that cause. It's automatic. His problem because your him na cause of poverty they worry him. He goes, so that's why he will follow you too. No, that is certain. That is certain. If it's untimely death that is following him, that is how it will follow you. If that man is suffering from there are some people that behave like dog. I think there's an English word for them. People that never get satisfied with sex. They call them nymphos or something like that. Now there are men that are like that. I have, you know, there are men that are like that. When they meet with you, woman, that spirit will follow you. Unless you sleep with a man in a day, there will be no rest for you. You're wondering, where did you pick that from? Any course following that person you join, all of now, so we're going to exchange the team together. The one where the woman gets, the one where you get. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, it sounds funny, but that is a fact. That is the truth. Occultic people also, they use that. Because the semen you release is your life. All that pertaining to your life is inside that thing. And so when they want to collect your life for you, that is one of the things they use. What do you think is the queen of the coast doing with women? What do you think she's anointing them for? What do you think is their commission? They are out to destroy men. And it's not anyhow man they agree. When they see you, there's something they see spiritually to know your star. There's something they see. And it is that star they are after. When you see a woman begins to lust after a man, when you see a woman, it's strange enough, the normal thing is the men that are supposed to chase the women, but when, brother, you begin to see a woman now chasing you, sending text message to you, brother, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the funny, lustful text they send. A woman comes near you and begins to naked herself as if she's doing it by mistake. There are what they call their power, a power base. See, we do deliverance, so we know what I'm talking about. And when I'm doing deliverance, sometimes God shows me, see her power base. And when you go there, you will see the reaction. When you touch it, you see the reaction. Carry an anointing oil, sprinkle in that place, you will see the reaction. It's true. Power base. Some of them, their power base is in their navel. That is why they sew cloth and leave it here. Once they're after you, your eye, jam that thing. Pray. You know they pray before. You're as weak as anything. As your eye jam that thing, tap your head, talk, shoo, and you don't know what is happening. You begin to follow her like dog. You can say, like 419 do or Ibo, you don't catch one mugu. Follow they come. Follow they come. Until you are finished. Ravages you, finishes your life. Proverbs chapter 6 again. Let's read that scripture. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 7, sorry. Proverbs chapter 7. Are we there? Verse 1. My son, this is such a serious topic until there is a whole chapter devoted to this. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my command. This is the Spirit of the Lord talking to somebody. And live. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Brother, and this is applicable. Apply it to both sides, please. This place is valid to women, but just apply it to both sides. Verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Like those text messages I said. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went away to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. You know what the attire of an harlot is? Can I, in case you don't know, do you know what the attire of a harlot is? Who is a harlot? A prostitute. It's one that sells her body, that advertises herself, sex for money. Her business is offering herself for the pleasure of men. Now, you know, somebody who is a prostitute, she has to dress in a way that will attract the man. And so, she dresses and then exposes the essential parts that when a man sees, we want to lust after her. There's no proper lady that will dress and expose her laps. But you see women these days, they dress and just as soon as, just let the pant cover small, the rest. They are there. And do you know what? They dress like that and go to churches. Why will a woman dress and wear a sleeveless dress. Every dress that a woman designs is for a purpose. I hope we know that. Every design has a reason for that design. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there no reason why you cut off the sleeves and wear sleeveless dress? There's a reason why. So that they will see your innerwear. That's the only reason. Because every sleeveless dress will expose your brassiere if you wear any. Of death. The effect of fornication. And you're wondering, why is my life scattered, brother? You used to be so on before. All of a sudden, you don't know what happened. You are saying, no, your uncle for village. Your uncle not your life, they tell you they prosper. Now your uncle go after you. Well, it could be your uncle in addition to that one. So the two of them jump together. And they finish you so. It's true now. I told you, God will give you a shop. God will give you a wonderful business for you to glorify his name. From nothing, he makes you something. All of a sudden, in that same shop, you bring a woman and sleep with her there. Do you know what you are doing to yourself? See? It's true. They give you promotion. You are supervisor. You were sharing office with people before. Now you be a guy. They give you even secretary now. Before they see, secretary will control the crowd. Who comes in? Then one sister, one woman enter inside. Secretary, don't let anybody come until I tell you. Okay? Enter. God has promoted you and made you a guy. And you don't know. By the action of you sleeping with that woman in that office, you are reversing all the blessing. It happens and people don't know it. Check yourself now. Check, from when did your life begin to pull down? Is it not that girl? Now, to even leave her, you don't feel leave her. Some of you know that there's something about this girl. If I see this girl again. Lie. The next time the girl, you see the girl, you say, after today, no come again. The power to resist her has been taken away. After today, no come again. No, I'm born again now. The girl will look at you and laugh. You know why she's laughing? She knows she has finished you. You be born again. You are born again. She go laugh. Okay, born again. She they go to go find out true whether you still. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The same thing with the women, though. The same thing. There are men that have been anointed to destroy women. They will destroy you emotionally, destroy you physically, destroy every aspect of you. When you see a man coming to tell you, are they calling Kudo too much? Which name I will call now? Ngozi. Ngozi, let us enter covenant. I'm not going to leave you. You're not going to leave me. Bring your blood. I bring my blood. That person is after your blood for something. And people don't know it. Don't go to the extent of exchanging vow with a man with blood. Blood covenants are not easily broken. When he finished that, you don't know his intentions towards you. You don't know what he wants to do with you forever. You can't leave him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so there's spiritual effect, there's physical effect. Even with God, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Then he added, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. or we judge. A whoremonger is a prostitute. And a prostitute is any man or any woman that sleeps with any partner that you are not married to. You are a whore. A whoremonger. We call it whoremongering. That is, you go here, you do it, you go here, you do it, you go here, you do it, you go here, you do it. He said, God will judge you. He will judge you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The popular scripture there. I'm talking to children of God here. Two verses there, verse 16. Hallelujah. He said, know ye not. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, some people are still opening. Chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's why in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, hear what he said from verse 15. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. God forbid. And when you say members of an harlot, and a harlot is a woman that sells her body for money. And there are some of you that a young man is sleeping with you every time because he's the one taking care of you in Lagos. He's the one paying your house rent. He's the one giving you money for powder and pancake. He's the one giving you money for cream. He's the one giving you chop money. I've seen a text. A young girl sent me a text. He said, I hate what I'm doing, but I have no option because this is the guy that is taking care of me. He's the one that rented that place for me. Pastor, if I say he should not do again, then it means who will take care of me in Lagos? I answered her. I said, of course, you should continue because he is your God. He's your God, so let him continue. Because without him, nobody else will take care of you. He's your God. He's the one that supplies all your need according to his riches in glory. By God's will. That's what it means now. That's how I replied back the text. I say it's true, continue, because that is your God. If it's not your God, hallelujah, my own God will take care of me. That is the truth. He promised he will not forsake me. But how many people believe that? You see? And you don't know, you're a prostitute. That is who you are. Before the eyes of everyone that knows Bible and before the eyes of God, you are a prostitute. It's because of the money you are submitting yourself to him. Because if he stops giving you that money, you too, you will close your leg. That is the truth. That makes you a prostitute. Let's read on. I read it again. Verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. He's quoting Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Then, verse 18. So that you understand what Joseph did before the wife of who? What was that his name? Potiphar's wife in Egypt. Verse 18. Flee fornication. He didn't say run from fornication. Flee is faster than run. I hope we know that. Three is on the word fly. Fly like witch. Disappear from fornication. Every sin, now listen, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, is outside the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. Your own body. The only sin that you sin against your body is the sin of fornication. You defy your body. You destroy your body. You damage your body. That is the only sin you commit against your body. If you lie, it's somebody else that is affected. If you gossip, it's somebody else that is affected. Murder is somebody else that is affected. Every other sin is somebody else that is affected. But when it comes to fornication, it's the only sin that you sin against your own body. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? And ye are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. For ye are bought with a price. Hey. You are bought with a price. What was that price? What price? Say it loud. The blood of Jesus Christ. Church, that scripture is deep for the born again Christians. The only reason we are gathering here tonight is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Am I correct? That's the only reason we are here now. If not, we shall only be a social club. What links all of us together is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are purchased possession of God. He bought us. He redeemed us. He bought us with a precious price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And when they said the blood of Jesus Christ, they didn't go to any well and just fetch it from a bucket somewhere. He suffered. You have to go to the cross and see what he went through. All that caning that he was caned with horse whips. All the ill treatment that he got. They maltreated him. They treated him like an animal. Imagine in the hands of wicked people, the hands of his enemies. They beat him and gave him the most shameful death anybody could get in the land. They hanged him naked on the street, on the cross. Why was he doing that? To buy you back to God. And then he came and gave you the Holy Ghost that came from the cross of Calvary. From that day, you became his own. And that is why it's warning you. You are not of your own. This body you have does not belong to you. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. All those abominable things you do, including homosexuality, lesbians, and all these unclean things people do with themselves, that body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. He has purchased you. If you are sure God has purchased you with his blood, can I see your hand up? How many of us? God bless you. God bless you. Then don't defy that body. If you were careless with it before, you don't do that. Because when you do it, the judgment of God will come upon you. That one is certain. Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the truth. Don't do that. Don't do that. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, where it says you break the edge and the serpent will bite you. God's protection covers every one of his children. When Satan wants to come into your life, one of the things he uses to open way to come into your life is through fornication. Once you allow that spirit come over you, you have opened the way. There is no night vigil that will stop him. There is no dry fasting that will stop him. You have broken the edge, serpent must go and bite. And that is because serpent has beaten you. That is why there is frustration all around you. You are working so hard, but that venom from that serpent has caught you. Destroy your life. Where did that evil covering cover your face from? Where did it come from? Where did it have the chance? You enter water for water baptism. You came out. Which evil covering again will cover your face? Something happened. You open it. You say, well, me my own. Me, I'm not a fornicator. Me my own. Now only play with the play. You know, enter. I know they allow I enter. Now only play with the play. So me, I know be a fornicator. You are worse than a fornicator. The Bible says, if you look upon a woman and lust after her in your heart, what are you guilty of? Are you guilty of a sexual sin? So which one? And to start with, that man has no right over your body to touch or do anything until he has paid the dowry. So why are you allowing him go beyond his boundary? He should not even kiss you. Let him be kissed. If he won't kiss you, go and pay. Go and pay. I hope nobody here, I hope your boyfriend will not kiss you. I hope you have not kissed any woman. Go and wash your mouth with anointing oil, with toothbrush. You have sinned. Don't do that. Keep yourself holy. Don't give the devil any chance. So that when you and that boy stand together and pray and decree our marriage shall be happy this year, nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop it. Why? The accuser of the brethren is Satan. He has nothing to accuse you of. When you are making your decree, you are praying midnight prayers, you are doing the gym and praying and fasting. Amen. The devil will try to come. When he comes, he will see nothing to accuse you of. You see nothing to accuse you of. Praise the Lord. I know I'm talking to somebody here. Oh, definitely. Whether the person answer or not, now you. I'm talking to you. Repent. So that this prayer we're praying tonight will be effective. Praise the Lord. Because one thing I love about the God we serve is that he's always there, a God of second chance. There's no sin you have ever committed that if from your heart you decide to repent, that he will not forgive you. See what he did to Ahab. With all the abominations that Ahab did, when he sent the prophet to tell him his judgment, the Bible says, Ahab, fear will catch Ahab. Hey! The prophet was going, God, he said, go back and tell him. You see his reaction. You see? He feared. Therefore, he said, tell him it will happen, but it will not be in his own time. Amen. And so that God is a merciful God. He's not interested to condemn anybody. He's interested to see your progress, because your progress is a testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Every true child of God that is progressing is evidence of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And whenever you live an underprivileged life, struggling for your business, struggling in your spiritual life, living an anyhow life, you are making the blood of Jesus Christ of no effect. And God cannot be happy over it. He's looking for children that he will show on earth here the meaning of Calvary. And the meaning of Calvary is reflected in our lives. It's our lives that show the evidence of Calvary. That's the truth. That's the meaning of grace. That there are people here that the power of God can come inside of them and make them live like saints on earth, children of the living God. That we hate what God hates and love what God loves. And say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Under any condition, they will not mortgage their birthright. They will not sell it for any situation, for any condition. And no condition will push them to go and do any evil thing. Hey, yes, I may be overdue for marriage, But you can't sleep with me until you have paid my dowry and we have been pronounced husband and wife. Anything short of that, leave me alone. And each time you're able to tell a man that, heaven is clapping hands for you. That's the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think a word is enough for the wise. Stop fornication. Stop it. Stop it. So I can progress.